Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 85 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We are continuing with our 2022 redraft positional previews today with two more great guests. But first, let's bring on my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Good to be back. I missed the catcher episode. So good to be back for first base and got two awesome guests, like you mentioned. Really looking forward to this talk and podcast for sure.
Yeah, if you're going to miss one episode, the catcher episode was great. Everyone go back and listen to it. But if you have to miss one position, I guess catcher's the one to do it on.
Yeah, I'm not upset about that. Not about the position, at least.
Right. But we had a great podcast with the Triple Play boys, Marty, Doc, and David. So go check that out. That was a fun episode. And we have two more great guests today. First, this is a man you can hear on both the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast and the Rotosaurus High Stakes Heat podcast, a man who loves a good fantasy baseball debate, but not any injury-prone players. the one, the only, Dave McDonald joins us. Dave, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Hey, buddy. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, man. It's good to have you on. It's always fun to talk baseball with you.
Oh, yeah. Love talking with you guys. And, you know, getting to meet you guys at First Pitch was awesome. Love all Absolutely. The opportunity I can to hang out with you guys.
Absolutely. And it's funny because before I met you, I think I've told you this, but I don't know if I've told anybody else on the air. I had you pegged for like 5'8", 5'9". And then you walk out back. Well, we were all back of the hotel by the pool that first night. And I'm like, oh, this is Dave McDonald. This like 6'5" freaking dude. I'm like, geez, this is, I was way off. I never saw you outside of like this right here. Like I see you on the screen, just like shoulders right. up. I'm like, I had you pegged for a smaller guy, but you're not. You're very tall.
That's
very
tall man. Just me, 5'8", 5'9" right here.
I had you pegged for Clegg size over there.
Yeah, I can pick Justin up like he's a small child. So you don't really talk too much about how tall you are, but I have mentioned it before. But Govea thought the same thing. He told his girlfriend to go find me when they went to come pick me up. He didn't tell her anything. He was like, "Yeah, I think he's like mid 20s average height," and I'm like, "Dude, I'm late 30s, 6'5", beard." Like, I don't even know how she found me. He didn't give her anything to work with. I'm like, this is a miracle.
Well, Leanne is a very smart person.
She really is. She's the kind of person who can, like, walk up to everybody and, like, introduce herself and, like, make friends with them, which is pretty much what she had to do before she found me.
Right? Oh, man. All right, but rounding out the podcast today is a man that is only allowed to play in 15 leagues this year, but we'll probably somehow sneak in a few more. He runs TGFBI and can be found on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast and the world famous Sleeper in the Bus podcast. A man who wears a one piece bikini for fun. Who else but Justin Mason? What's up, Justin?
That is an amazing intro right there. I don't even know how I can live up to that. Yeah. Dave is a giant, though. I do have to mention, like, he kind of just said this in passing that he can pick me up because he did. And I am not a little guy. Like, I haven't been swept off my feet in that way since I met my wife so many years ago.
Great line. And, great line.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Getting brownie points. I see how it is.
I got to suck up because she's going to yell at me for being on this podcast. Just, you know.
She's going to hate me even more now, too. She's going to be like, oh, okay, so Dave sweeps you off your feet, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. She told me to mention you guys that she hates you all.
It's funny. I thought about this idea like a week ago. After we kind of confirmed you guys for this episode, I was going to have her provide the intro that I read for you just to make it just make it hilarious. But I totally forgot until like half an hour ago. I'm like, it's too late now. But maybe next time. Yeah. But I thought that'd be
fun. I don't know that she's allowed to contractually, say nice things about me on a podcast or on social media. So
that was the whole point.
I mean, that might have been. Oh,
I wanted just like her interest to be roasting you.
You wanted the Danielle. Oh, yeah, no, she'd do that. She, you know, yeah, she. You can find those pretty easily just anywhere. So, next time,
daily occurrence.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. Before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find all of us on Twitter. Justin is at Justin Mason FWFB. Dave is at Run DMCD. Chris is at Roto Clegg. I am at Eric Cross 04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/Fantrax Toolshed for extra content from both of Chris and I. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including the 2022 Fantasy Baseball Draft Kit. It's got a lot of fun content in there. Let's get right into this week's episode. We're talking first base today, a very fun position, kind of top heavy a little bit, but some intriguing targets throughout. We'll get to all that. Let's start, though. Let's talk about our general, you know, position overview and strategy with first base. Dave, I'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on the first base player pool this year, and how are you approaching it in your drafts?
Yeah, first base is generally a position, and especially this year, where I actually feel like you can find a lot of late value, and I feel like a lot of these guys kind of provide the same things. Like the majority of these guys are more or less three category contributors. You know, not many of them steal bases. You got a couple guys like Goldschmidt in there who can give you 10 to 12 maybe. But and then you got some guys who can hit for average, you know, like Vlad, obviously. But for the most part, these guys are, you know, 240 to 270 hitters with 30 home run power-ish here, give and take. And so I really feel like I can wait on it and get a couple of guys who can all kind of give me relatively the same as what the guys who are going above them give me. Like when you're comparing and contrasting to other positions where I feel like I can't get those things that I need. Like early on in the drafts, I'm looking to get steals and average, and I don't really feel like I can get that from the first base position. So I generally punt it down the board a bit.
Yeah, I kind of had that same thought too. Like you get into like past the top seven or eight or so, there's not really a huge difference between like 9 or 10 on the board and like 16 to 17. And then the same thing from like 17 down to like 23 or whatever it is. So yeah, I definitely hear you there. Justin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. I think the only caveat there is one, I think a lot of people are feeling that way, that first base is extremely deep, that you can get really useful guys later on. And so often in drafts, I'm seeing guys who are, you know, higher rated first basemen, Freddie Freeman, Pete Alonso, Matt Olson, drop in drafts farther than they should. And I think we shouldn't be afraid to go, hey, you know, this is a pretty damn good value, especially when you're talking about a guy like Freddie Freeman, who is kind of a perennial 300 hitter with 30 plus home runs. Like, you can't find those combinations that easily, especially at first base. So while I tend to, you know, do what you guys are talking about, which is, you know, kick it down the can or wait till a point in the draft where I really don't like other things. Like, okay, maybe now is the time to go address first base. You know, you don't want to give up on value. I got Freddie Freeman at like pick 26 or 27 in a DC recently. And I was just like, I'm not going to get speed here, but this is too good of a value to pass up. And I'm going to take 30 home runs in a damn good average, especially because I expect him to end up back in Atlanta.
For sure. And let's hope that happens, or my co-host will not be a happy camper down there. So he said that he will riot and do some unspeakable things if Freddie Freeman leaves. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But yeah, Freeman, I've said it on another podcast, like Freeman is a value everywhere. I feel like whether it's redraft, dynasty, whatever, I've gotten him a pretty good value in both formats. Yeah, he doesn't provide speed, but you can't really find a much more consistent four category lock. The guy's just 300, 30, 100, 100 every year. So yeah, love Freddie Freeman this year, as I usually do. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I mean, I tend to agree it's deep. And I also think that there are some values. Like, I think Pete Alonso is just going way too late. It's kind of crazy that he did everything we expected him to do last year, and now he's going, you know, some 30 picks later than he was last year, which is crazy to me. I mean, his ADP, round 60, he's going as late as 100 in a draft. Like, I'm scooping a lot of that. I mean, you can pretty much count on him for a 260 average, but I think, you know, 40 bombs is in the cards with, you know, a lot of running RBI production. So Pete Alonso has been one of my favorite first base targets. And then if I miss on him, I'm looking a little deeper. I do think there are some solid options. There's a lot of underrated guys too. I think a lot of the guys in the mid 100 range are just being undervalued in general. And so the position does offer some good value, I think, and kind of agree with what y'all said. I think some guys are falling because they think the position is just deep, which is true, but you're getting good value on some players.
Yeah. And there's a huge ADP gap. You looking like, I'm looking at NFBC right now. You know, after like number six right now is Jose Abreu at 73.1, and then there's a 33 pick gap down to Mountcastle, and I'm sure that ADP is going to fall a little bit. And then you get like this absolutely massive cluster between like 105 and 155 or so, which goes like 11 or 12 players deep. So we'll get into all that, but first let's start right at the top. Vladdy Jr. coming off a historic season, where he would have won an MVP if, you know, some guy named Shohei Ohtani didn't exist. But Vladdy last year in 698 plate appearances, slash 311, 401, 601, 48 home runs, 111 RBI, and 123 runs scored. Justin, I know it kind of depends on where you are and how you construct your roster, but is Vladdy a guy that you'd be willing to take at his ADP, you know, around pick five or six or so? Or are you kind of shying away because he doesn't provide you any speed there in that first round?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I really, if I'm going to take a hitter in the first round, I want five category production. And I just don't see, like, I know there was like some sort of video of him like running down a field or a beach or something like that. And
there's plenty of those.
People were getting excited. Like this was going to be like a, you know, he's going to turn a David Hasselhoff or something, but I just can't take him that early, especially when there's so many really, really good speed options out the gate. And especially because you have to wait all the way around. Like if you're in a 15 team league and take Vladdy, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth overall, you've got a long ways to wait, and who knows what's going to make it back to you in that second round. So I prefer guys with speedier options. And if I don't get some speed in the first round, I want an ace. So Vladdy's more of a back of the end of the first round option, and even there I'd have a hard time pulling the
trigger. I was about to ask you that. Like let's say you're sitting there in a 15 teamer at like pick 11 or 12 and he somehow falls to you there. Is that where you'd start to consider taking him?
Probably not. I mean, I'm probably gonna take like an ace like Burns or
maybe like a Kyle Tucker's in that range.
Oh, if Kyle Tucker's there, I'm taking Kyle Tucker. Like, you know, I think he can just be an absolute monster this year. I don't think I'm going to end up with Guerrero on any teams this year unless I just make a decision to see what a Guerrero build looks like. But that seems unlikely at this point. Yeah.
Dave, you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much exactly what he said. And, you know, it does depend on the format a bit. Obviously, like, I play a lot of 15-teamers, and in 15-teamers, you have all these resources that you need to get early that you can't get later. You need to get those steals. You need to get your ace. You need to get your closer. So in the first four rounds, there's no way I can draft a guy who doesn't give me something along the lines of what I'm looking for. So at a position that I feel is really deep, like first base, a guy who as good as Vlad is, obviously, you know, MVP, you know, level talent, elite skills, but he doesn't give me, he's never going to give me speed. And again, I'm fulfilling a position that I feel very comfortable getting later. You can't have in a 15 teamer, you can't have an all-star at every position, and you need to, right. You need to be okay taking guys later at some positions, and first base is exactly that position that I'm fine waiting on till later, whereas other positions are not. So I just don't see many scenarios that I would take him other than maybe like a shallower, maybe like a 10-teamer or a 12-teamer where he falls a bit later. You know, like I don't know if I'd take Kyle Tucker over him, to be honest with you. I might. It would be close. So I just don't think he's going to end up falling to me in a place where I would ever be able to take him.
Clegg, where would you be okay taking Vladdy?
Probably towards the back end of the first. I just don't really – I'm not sure if he's going to hit for that high of an average again. And I think – not that he's going to hit for a low average, but I'd much prefer just to wait on like a Freddie if I'm looking to target first base early. I think, you know, he's obviously going to hit for less power, but, you know, similar run RBI and home run production. But you can get the – you can get the discount, I think. So kind of discount him a little bit. I think his max pick's at 12 right now in draft champions. So I don't know, maybe buying at that point, but you know, I'd prefer to get speed or a starting pitcher at the top.
Also question. Yeah. Do we know for sure that the launch angle sticks? I mean, I think it probably does. Like, I think he's probably that good that he's going to be able to keep it, but yeah. I just don't know if it's for sure, because everybody else that we've seen who's changed their launch angle has always reverted, like the Yandy and Hosmer. So I would err on the side of, yes, I think he will keep it. I think there's a non-zero chance that reverts, and then what happens to his power then? So and you know, he's not going to be playing in Dunedin and Toronto maybe this year. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Who knows what's going on with COVID this year? But I if he plays most of the time in Rogers Center, that's not the home run place that most people might think it is. Like it's actually below average, or well, not below average, but it's not nearly as high as the other places are in for home right. runs. So. I don't think you could expect over 40 next necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, if you kind of look at, I just brought up his average launch angle by month, and it went up and down throughout the season. He made adjustments kind of constantly, so I think he's such a talented hitter that he can kind of play around with it in season the way he did in 2021 and be totally fine. Like, you know, maybe something isn't working right that minute, but he's going to figure it out pretty quick. So I think what we learned is he's working really, really hard physically. And he's learning a lot about the game because we saw him make some really substantial changes in 2021 that I think are going to stick.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And to Dave's point, I just pulled up his splits by ballpark in Salem Field in Buffalo and then TD Park down there. He combined for 21 home runs and 44 games.
Yeah.
He hit 410 down in Tampa at that park. Or not Tampa. Dunedin. Yeah, he hit 410 down there and 321 at Salem Field up there in Buffalo. So, yeah. And then Rogers, he still was good at Rogers Center. He had 294, 10 home runs in 35 games. We had definitely 21 bombs in 44 games. It was definitely a nice little boost. Yeah, I think he can still be like around 40 home runs. I don't think he'll push 50, but it wasn't like it was even a huge launch angle adjustment. It was, 4.6 to 9.4 is definitely an adjustment, but it wasn't like he got up to like that 15-degree angle. So, so I think we're all in agreement. We definitely think Vlad is great, but yeah, top five, top six pick rate, not quite sure, especially with needing speed that early. And even though he's out there, if you follow him on Instagram, there's 48 videos a day of him working out and running and doing all this and that, flipping tires and doing the rope thing and all that stuff. That's a pretty fun person to follow on Twitter, but I don't think he's going to start adding 10 steals anytime soon or anything like that. But
one of the mistakes I sometimes see like amateur fantasy players make is they put a lot of stock in these videos. They see like a video that gets them all hyped up and like, exactly. Oh, look, he's in really good shape. And it's like, no, you can't watch these things. Like this is not how you make good informed decisions. So I don't even look at videos from guys. Like it does not matter at all.
Gregory Polanco should have taught us this a few years back. Like, every year we'd see Gregory Polanco doing the rope and the tire and like, oh my God, he's in the best shape of his life. It's gonna happen.
There's a reason they're highlights. It's a highlight for a reason.
I just don't want to see the opposite. Yeah. Like, especially with a guy like Vlad, right? I don't want to see him coming in like Pablo Sandoval. Used to come in weighing 300 pounds.
How Sixto looked.
I'm just, exactly. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, I'm not going to give anybody bonus points for, like, coming in really great shape. I will definitely give people negative points for coming in completely.
That's former Cleveland Indian Pablo Sandoval. Put some respect on his name, all right?
And former Red Sox.
Cleveland hero Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, we traded playoff MVP Eddie Rosario for Pablo and then just dumped him. You're welcome, Clegg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope Pablo got a ring for that.
I think he does. he's now got four rings and Mike Trout has played in three playoff games. So, or postseason games, excuse me.
Pablo was the reason the Braves even made it to the postseason because he hit three walk-off home runs, three pinch hit walk-off home runs in April. Wow. Insane.
He's
weirdly clutch. It's also one of my favorite baseball stories is the year he came into spring training for us completely out of shape, like that photo of him like bursting the belt buckle open, but then I think it was from the front office of the Red Sox saying he only has 14% body fat. I'm like, bullshit, he's got 14% body fat. Like, there's no freaking way. Have you looked at this guy? He's like a sumo wrestler out there, like 14% body fat.
I think that was a typo. They meant 40.
Or like in his pinky toe, maybe. I don't know. Like,
I bet you didn't come on today expecting to spend 3 minutes on Pablo Sandoval.
No, we did not, but
here we are.
It's never a bad time to talk Pablo Sandoval, is it? He's such a fun guy to talk about. I don't know. Gotta love Pablo. But all right, moving on to the next kind of cluster here after the top two of Vladdy and Freeman. Get a nice little, like, I don't know if Freeman's in his own tier. We'll call him tier two, but tier three here. We got four guys within about 30 picks of each other. You got Matt Olson to go to around pick 42, Goldie at 50, Pete Alonso at 58. And 73, we have Jose Abreu rounding out the quote unquote kind of elite options at this position. So let's talk about the kind of the four here: Olson, Goldie, Alonso, and Abreu. Which of these four are you buying the most at their ADP right now? Clegg, I'll go to you first. I think I know your answer here, but which one of these four do you like the most at their ADP?
Oh yeah, I already said Alonso, and that's a pretty easy pick for me. I mean, I even in draft champions, you know, going around 66, like that's kind of crazy to me. I just think he's a good value, and you know what to expect from him. I don't expect a high batting average, but I think you can get away with it if you build right. I mean, 260 is probably what he's going to hit, and then he's going to provide 40 home runs and a ton of running RBI. So it's a pretty easy target for Alonso. I think Goldschmidt, I think people are pushing him up because the stolen bases last year. I'm not sure we can count on that. So I think that's inflated his value a lot. And I do like Olsen. I think Olsen's a good value where he's going. But I do – he did see the regression some towards the end of the year with the contact rates. You know, they were way up most of the year, and he saw some regression down the stretch. So, you know, Alonso's probably my favorite target. If Olsen falls to in the 50s, then I'm considering him there. So probably just avoiding Goldschmidt. I'm not sure what to expect out of him.
Yeah, expecting another double-digit steal season from a 34-year-old first baseman is not a wise thing to do. Especially he had it's weird because he only had a 34th percentile of sprint speed. But at the same time, you know, like Albert Pujols had a 16 steal season. Sometimes you can still get, you know, double digits just by on smarts alone. I think that's
what stolen bases are not about speed. They're about the will to steal bases.
Right.
I'm preaching that because it doesn't matter what your sprint speed is. If you want to run, you're going to run.
So, Kettle Marte, right? Kettle Marte is fast as heck, but it just never ends up stealing any bases.
Yep.
Which is annoying because if he stole bases, he'd be a top 30 pick, but you know, adding in 10, 15 steals would be great. But I love Alonso here. It's funny. Alonso has just quietly just gotten better and better every year. You know, last year, he dropped the K rate. It was 26.4% in his rookie year, down to 19.9% last year. Hard hit rate was the best of his career. XBA was the best of his career at 270 as well. He's always been elite barrel rate, exit velocity, hard hit rate guy. So glad to see him cut that K rate. And yeah, it's funny, you mentioned back in the earlier on, Chris, but how Alonso finally kind of did what we all hoped he would, and now his ADP kind of didn't adjust with it. So it's got a good value on Alonso here. Even on Fantrax drafts, he is ADP 56 right now. So he's right behind Goldie's 55. Olsen 37 and Abreu 77. So yeah, definitely love Alonso this year. I think he's my favorite target as well. Dave, who do you like here from this group?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to be the guy who's different here. I don't see myself drafting any of these three. Again, if we're talking 15 teamers, they're just going in those first four rounds when I need other things that those guys don't give me. I really like the adjustments that Olsen made last year, and I definitely think he's much better. Like, I didn't understand his ADP in previous years. Now I actually think he's more worthwhile. But I don't really see him hitting over 270 still. It kind of depends on what park he's into, but either way, he's just going to give me power, and that's just not like I can make up power later. It's not really a concern for me. So. I like Goldie steals. I like, I got him a lot last year because he was going around pick 100. But, going in those top 60 picks, I'm just never going to be looking for a first baseman there. So, there's different ways you can build your teams. It's just not personally how I build mine.
Yeah. And Olsen, too, like you mentioned that, he cut his K rate almost in half.
Yeah, it was crazy.
31.4 down to 16.8, which is insane to have that big of a jump. Especially when someone like, it's not like a first year to second year player, like he's been in the league, what, 5-6 years at this point?
So I don't know exactly what it's called, but he was using some kind of like red machine or something. I forget what the name of it was, but it was like literally it was helping him develop his contact skills last year. So that was a situation where, it was not just a narrative, it actually, you saw the huge gains from it. So I don't think it's, I don't think it's just a blip or something that he can't sustain as long as he keeps working with it. I don't remember what exactly the machine was called. Do you remember, Justin?
I don't, but shout out to our friend Mike Kurland, who posted one of his quick little videos the other day and talked about how Matt Olson was, I think, third in Major League Baseball in terms of opposite field barrel percentage. Oh, okay. So, like, he was using all the fields. I like Olson a lot, too, especially because wherever he gets traded, and we expect him to give you a trade, it's going to be a better park. However, the correct answer in this threesome, even though, unlike Dave, I do like all three of these guys, is Paul Goldschmidt. Like, you get five category production. You guys keep mentioning, oh, his steals are probably going to come down. Okay, maybe it comes down. Maybe he only steals seven bases. He hits 300. Like, he hits, 290-something last year, 294. And, like, he has pretty much hit 290 or better in virtually every season except for, 2019, I think? Yeah. Like, he five category production. He's just, like, being ignored because he is old, I guess? Like, I don't know. Pick 60 seems like a really, really fair price for a first baseman who's going to give you power, average, and speed, and a boatload of runs and RBIs. Like, I'm fine with where he's going. Now, like Dave said, often I'm not going to get any of these guys, right? Because I'm building my team a little bit differently. But, man, if Goldschmidt falls in a draft, I have no problem scooping him up. Really, any of these guys fall in a draft, I have no problem. No,
and to clarify, he is my pick out of those three easily. I didn't really say that because I wasn't planning on taking any of them, but you're right. He does give you that production across the board, 10 to 12 steals. And he hit better than ever last year. So, Father Time's not catching up with Goldschmidt just yet.
Nope, it's definitely not. I like both Goldie and Alonso here. I think Abreu is always underrated as well, but the lower average, he's 261 last year, though he was a career 290 guy, so maybe that can bounce back. But he's also maybe 35, doesn't run at all. But I think they're all pretty solid picks. If you want a first baseman early, I don't really have any issues with any of their ADPs. If I had to pick one, I'd probably go Alonso and then Goldschmidt, but man, if Olson does get dealt out, which is a possibility with Oakland kind of going in rebuild mode again, I've heard the rumors of the Yankees being in on Olson. Would that, I know we're talking hypotheticals here, but Olson in Yankee Stadium, would that change your mind, Dave? Would you be after an Olson?
No, he obviously would be, more attractive to me, but it would still be the same concern where he just doesn't give me what I'm looking for. And I also think if he goes to New York, his ADP is probably going to shoot up even more from where it is right now. And it's just going to make it less palatable than it is now. As far as
he'll probably get close to like Freeman. He'll probably be only a few picks behind Freeman.
He'll be a borderline second round pick in 15 team leagues. Ooh, and I can't do that.
No. As far as Abreu goes, I guess my question to you guys is this, like, I understand he's on a really good offense, so he can rack up the RBI, but what am I getting from him that I can't get out of, Josh Bell or CJ Cron or maybe even Joey Votto? Like, I just don't see a big difference there. So, like, if I can get a guy going 60 picks later,
110 plus RBI. That's the difference.
Yeah, but
just,
like,
you're not getting that from Josh Bell.
RBI and runs.
You asked the question. You asked the question. what am I getting from Abreu that I'm not getting from those guys? That's what you're getting.
Okay,
you're getting better counting categories. I'm probably not going to take Abreu because, like I said, you can get power later in a draft, right? You can make up for that. But, like, that's the argument for taking a guy like Abreu ahead of those other guys. I would prefer to kind of fade Abreu if I'm not ending up with a Goldschmidt, if I'm not ending up with an Alonso, then I'm going to fade kind of the next tier of guys more often than not for the guys later, because I don't think the difference between, like, tiers four or five and like seven or eight are really big enough where I need to start making picks unless someone drops a tremendous amount in a draft.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys that you can get 100 or so picks later after Abreu that could maybe give close, maybe not quite his value.
No, but like 80% is fine, yeah.
Exactly. Guys like, we'll get to these guys later, but like I can see Frankie Schwindel coming 80% of Abreu's value, maybe a Bobby Dalbec if he can to make those late season changes stick. Maybe Justin, don't give me that face. Don't give me that face.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that one at some point.
All right, Dalbec's very, he's very kind of polarizing. But this is a handful of guys later on that I think could come close to Abreu that you can get 100 picks later if everything breaks right for those guys. But let's move on to that next kind of clump. It's a massive, massive clump. You look at that ADP. So on an NFBC, number 7 off the board for first base is Ryan Mountcastle, right, you know, around pick 105, 106. And then the rest of the cluster, you got DJ LeMahieu, Jared Walsh, Jake Cronenworth, CJ Cron, Josh Bell, Ty France, Reese Hoskins, it keeps going, Max Muncy, Tyler Stevenson, because he's first base eligible, and Joey Votto is kind of 50 picks after Mountcastle. That's 11 names I just read that are in a 50-pick kind of cluster there. Right, let's start right at the top of that cluster, though, with Ryan Mountcastle. Had a pretty solid rookie year last year, 33 home runs, 89 RBI, added them 4 steals, hit 255. But, you know, Baltimore is moving out the left field fence because they think that can solve their pitching woes or something like that. I don't know. But Mountcastle was, and that's going to help John Means keep, you know, all those 9,000 home runs in the ballpark. But that's the story of another day. But Mountcastle, though he can use the entire field very well, there were, you look at his spray chart, and there's probably, it's hard to like tell for sure, but 4, 5, 6 home runs. And that might have been not a home run if he had the dimensions of the new left field.
I actually saw something that said it was only 2, and I don't know. I'm looking into it myself, but I think I saw someone say it was only 2 homers he would have lost last year.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's not
unconfirmed, but just what I saw from someone yeah.
Yeah, but probably losing some home runs. Obviously, yeah. You know, a couple is not a huge ding to his value, but this is a guy that was already. You know, I wasn't sure he was a 33 home run guy in general. You know, the kind of the quality of contact metrics were not that great. He had a solid barrel rate. I get that. But he's never a guy that I thought would be like a 35 home run bat. So he's a guy I was fading in general. Justin, what are your thoughts on Mountie? Is he a guy you're going after in this tier, or do you got like other guys in this range?
Oh, man, this is the thing, man. Like, I was really in on Mountcastle before they announced that news of moving back the fences and up. Not only are they moving back the fences,
that's
they're moving
true, yeah.
up to 13 feet tall. I'm trying to remember exactly what, I think it was Andrew Perpetua on Twitter. He kind of did some modeling of that. And I think that's really going to hurt him in the home run department. Now, it may help him in the average department because it's going to increase the BABIP. You know, having that kind of bigger left field area. So I dropped him like 3 or 4 or 5 spots in my ranks. I currently have him as my number 12 outfielder. I had him much higher than that prior to that news. So I still like the first and outfield eligibility. That's really nice. Yep. I like that. But I think you've got to temper your expectations if you were expecting like 30 to 35 home runs and think it's probably going to drop closer to being more like 20 to 30 home runs with a little bit better batting average. So maybe it's like 275, something like that. He's hit everywhere he's gone. Like, I know he's the guy like that a lot of people want to fade because like the Statcast numbers aren't great. But at some point, like on-field production means something and dude knows how to hit. And so I'm not completely fading him. But I'm definitely pumping the brakes a little bit harder than I was prior to that news.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I was already not liking his ADP. Like I said, he's another one of the guys where I was like, I could find close to the same production, you know, 75 picks later, whatever it may be. So moving the fences back and up. Again, yeah, I can see the batting average. Maybe he's, 260, 270 with 25. But is that really that special in, you know, the 105 to 120 range where he doesn't really run at all? He's never been a guy that provided much speed. So I don't think he's more than a 3, 4, 5 steal guy. So yeah, I'm definitely fading Mountcastle, especially now. I was already not that high, and I'm fading him even more now. Clegg, what about you? Are you a Mountie guy or no?
Not in particular. I think that he needs to fall a little bit further, and he may. I think this whole fence moving thing, it could really affect some of the Baltimore hitters' values where they might turn into decent values. But I wasn't really picking him around pick 100. He has a pretty interesting range in draft champions, going from 74 to 134. I know that's probably, as of the last couple of weeks changed a little bit. It's just an overall look at that. But yeah, right now I'm pretty out on him. I don't really trust the, like you mentioned, the batted ball data, and you look and hits a lot of pop-ups. You look at his launch angle distributions and just a lot of fly balls near like 30 degrees and 35 degrees. And that's just a little high for somebody with his exit velocities. You're not going to hit a lot of home runs with those launch angles. So I don't know. I think he can still be solid, but like I said, I think there's some better options a little later that I just prefer to wait on.
Totally agree. Dave, Any Mountie love from you?
Yeah, I mean, again, I look at what he does, and like 50 picks later, Joey Votto, I feel like kind of same exact guy, and I can get Votto like 50 picks later. I think you're really just paying up for that outfield eligibility is really the main thing. Like, I don't think he's going to lose a ton of power. I think he'll probably be like just below 30 homers, but you know, I don't think this guy's going to hit 300. I think he's more of a 255 to 270 hitter. I saw some research from this guy you might know named Chris Clegg, who said that, you know, he showed that he had a lower 90th percentile exit velocity than other guys with similar max EVs to him too. So kind of another thing that maybe shows he doesn't quite have the same power as some of these other guys around here.
That's true. Yep. He's a pretty big outlier there. When you look at the max, I mean, the max is solid at 114.6, but the 90th percentile at 105 is pretty low in comparison to other guys that have that near max. And so, you know, you look and you wonder if like it's more of an outlier. I would have to go back and look at all of the batted balls to see for sure. But, you know, that certainly does stand out.
By the way, really excited to see the rest of your research on that.
Yeah.
Definitely haven't been that excited to see some like research like that in a while, because I've always felt like max EV doesn't really encapsulate what I'm looking for. But I feel like the 90th percentile research is much more along the lines of what I want to know about.
Yeah. And that's like, I put out something about Edmundo Sosa yesterday. He has like a max EV of like 114.6, which is interesting. Like Tyler O'Neill's is like 113, but his next highest batted ball is like 107. So that just shows like people are going to look, everybody's quoting me on Twitter like, oh my gosh, like he's one of three players that's a sprint speed over 90th percentile and a max EV over 90th percentile. But I'm like, that's such a outlier, you know, and ground ball was so weakly hit. I found the video of it. I'm like, it looks like it was hit like 89 miles an hour. I'm like, it could have been a misread. Who knows? So
yeah
I'm hoping to have that out tomorrow, actually, the full chart excellent. And stuff. So at least for 2021, we're trying to backdate some stuff and test it. But just the 2021 numbers hopefully released tomorrow. Kind of excited
I'm going to be on the lookout for that. That'll be great.
Yeah. Cause max exit velo is one batted ball.
Exactly.
Everything I learned in like stats class in high school about the you know the outliers and whatnot, like you had to get rid of the high end and low end. Like max EV, I've never I guess for like lower level prospects it's kind of helpful, like what they're capable of maybe, but a major level I don't like using max EV.
It's fine to use as like a snapshot if you don't have access to more information, but it's definitely not a good clear picture. Like it's a very very small thing to take into consideration. I'm much more curious what they can do on a, you know, especially their fly balls. I'm much more curious about their exit velocity on fly balls. Like you were talking about hitting ground balls. I don't care how hard you hit ground balls unless you're always hitting hard ground balls. And okay, maybe that's going to raise your BABIP a bit. But you know, in terms of your power, you need to know what your fly ball EV is.
Right. Hard hit ground balls, AKA Alec Bohm. That's basically what he is. Again, when you're not fast, it doesn't matter at all. Like, hit the ball on the ground as hard as you want, and it ain't going to do much for you. All right, moving on here. We have a couple guys that are pretty different overall players, but going in the same, they're actually going back to back in, at least at this position, in ADP. And that's Jake Cronenworth of the Padres and CJ Cron of the Colorado Rockies. So let's go with a little player debate here. Dave, I'll kick it to you first.
Okay.
Who would you rather? I know a lot of things kind of go into it, but just in general, which player are you higher on for 2022 between these two?
You know, I'm going to go with Cron, but it really just depends on what you need. I mean, because Cronenworth is obviously better, you know, contact skills, but he doesn't hit the ball as hard as CJ Cron, so they could still end up hitting for about the same average. Like Cronenworth, I think, is less prone to like cold streaks and stuff. But CJ Cron, the Rockies actually played him every day pretty consistently. So and in the middle of that lineup, and he can easily hit twice as many home runs as Cronenworth. But with Cronenworth, you're not really playing him as a first baseman most times. You know, he's second and short eligible. So most times you're not drafting him as a first baseman, you're drafting him as a middle infielder or, you know, second base shortstop starter there. So it's kind of just they're completely different fits for completely different teams, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, how about you?
I think Dave's right. Like this is very much like team context specific, like what you're trying to build or what you need in the moment, especially because Cronenworth, who I do have ranked higher, I've got, I think, Cronenworth 8th and Cron 9. The triple eligibility is huge.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to move a guy to three different spots. You know, the one thing I will say about CJ Crone that I don't think we talk about enough, he played in 142 games this year. That's the most he's ever played in a full season. So, like, he's not a guy who's necessarily always on the field. So I think that's just something that kind of puts him down a little bit for me. But I do like Cronenworth a lot. I just think he's one of those kind of unsexy glue guys that can move around your roster, give yourself a lot of different options moving forward into the rest of the draft. It definitely, it's Cronenworth for me, but it's very, very close, like Dave said, and really roster dependent.
All right, Chris, before we get your thoughts here, you and I are on the clock in the Battle of the Pods draft.
My pick.
And somehow, some way, the fantasy baseball gods have left Juan Soto on the board.
Is there an even debate?
And Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I don't know. If you were going to say passive.
It's the first. It is the first base episode. Vladdy is sitting for you guys at 7.
We just discussed this.
Right. All right. So I was going to say, if you say to pass on Soto, I might be have to find a new co-host for this podcast. I'd be so distraught with you.
Easy pick here. Soto.
I would go Soto.
No question.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how. I was sitting there when it was three picks ago, and I was like, hey, if Soto, Vladdy, or Bo don't fall to us, who are we going with? And then not thinking that Soto would be the one that would fall out of those three.
Picks. Love that.
Boom. Soto is on Team Toolshed. Love it.
You can thank Dave and Zach Waxman for taking pictures.
It's true.
In those to allow Soto to fall to you.
I figured one person would take a picture. So I was like, oh, maybe Vladdy falls. Maybe Bo. Didn't think it would be Soto. So thank you, everybody.
Zach in our little group chat, I think, said like, oh man, I should just take Soto just to screw with the prospect guys.
They know how you feel.
That is a gift, so appreciate that. All right, Chris, we'll chop in here on Crone and Cronenworth here.
Yeah, I'm going to take Crone, but I think it is dependent, like you said. I think different needs matter here, but I just feel Crone, the batting average is going to be largely elevated in Coors, like we saw last year. And the power is definitely there as well. So yeah, I think it'd be pretty solid. You know, the supporting cast around him kind of sucks, but that is what it is. So still going to get solid power and solid average now, thanks to the Coors Field. So yeah, I think Cronenworth, like you mentioned, I mean, the fact that you can put him at first, second, short, middle corner, that's super helpful. So having that flexibility is really nice with him.
What you're saying, Garrett Hampson sucks?
Just a little. Just a little.
As I shed a single tear of my... Again, that was we were talking about being okay, being wrong, and learning from it. Yep, Garrett Hampson was one I was definitely wrong on. I mean, he's still okay, I guess, but definitely not as good as I thought he was going to be. All right, let's move on here. Got a lot more interesting guys in this range before we hop on to the later round picks here. One, maybe the most interesting name in this tier that's kind of hard to value because we don't really know how healthy he's going to be this upcoming season. With his elbow injury, and that's Max Muncy. Obviously, he's a guy that is very talented. If he was 100% healthy going into the year, he would probably be up closer to the Abreus of the world in that tier. But the injury uncertainty, and if he's going to need surgery or if he's going to injure it early on, when's he going to be ready? A lot of question marks have dropped him way down in ADP, down to, I just lost him right there. He's at 143.6 behind Ty France, behind Rhys Hoskins. Barely ahead of like Joey Votto. He's the 15th first person off the board overall. What are you guys doing with Muncy? Is there a, Dave, I'll go to you first. Is there a spot? I don't know your answer because you hate injuries, but is there a spot with where you'd be okay taking Muncy? Or are you just kind of like passing completely due to the uncertainties around him right now?
Okay, so to clarify, I'm never just off guys because they're injury prone or whatever. It's early picks that I save injury guys, but we're talking 181 here. But the thing is, this is also something that I think is very, very serious. This could be something that affects him this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he had to have Tommy John surgery. I mean, he's got a torn UCL in his elbow, so I just won't take him. It just doesn't matter what situation I'm in. I'll find someone who's healthy who I can depend on to play this year. And he's just not that. So he's just completely off my list.
Justin, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge bummer for me because, I mean, I do my first set of rankings for the next season in usually like late August, early September. And so, you know, prior to the injury, I had Max Muncy as my fourth first baseman.
Whoa.
Like, I was really, really high on him.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really like, because, I mean, you got the triple eligibility, you know, a guy who's going to get on base, you know, hit in a perfect spot in that Dodgers lineup.
Double eligibility, by the way.
Well, I didn't know exactly where he was going to be, you know, because we were still in the season. But like Dave said, like, I don't think you can draft him. Like, there is no chance he's going to end up on any of my teams, as much as I love him, because I think there's a reasonable chance he doesn't play at all this season.
Yeah.
And I don't want to burn a top 150, even a top 200 pick on a guy that I think there's a reasonable chance that he's not going
to
play this.
How year. In the so, hell is he going I'm ahead of Trey Mancini? Like, that is insane to me. Like, who's taking him over Trey Mancini?
Even over the last couple of weeks, surprisingly. I mean, he's dropped to 181.
Crazy. Because people are suckers for the, hey, what if?
Right.
You know, if he plays.
What if he's healthy?
And right now, I think the thought process is they're going to see what's, you know, if he's healthy enough to just play through it. And I think that is just, I mean, especially with the lockout right now, he's not seeing doctors. We may find out in a month's time, once things open up for spring training, that he's done. Like, you know, or he may try to play through and we could be a month in the season and, you know, he needs to go get surgery. Like, I mean, there's very little way that this ends well. And he's just not worth taking the gamble.
I don't understand why he wouldn't just elect to have the surgery when it happened. Like, the recovery's so much quicker for hitters than pitchers. And so, like, it's just like delaying the inevitable, in my opinion. Like, he's just going to end up having it at some point.
Yeah. Why didn't he just have it back in October?
I think we,
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Join us today during the Jeep Celebration event for great deals on Jeep brand SUVs. Right now, well-qualified lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x4 for $429 a month for 39 months with $3,759 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution and lease through Stellantis Financial. Extra charge for miles over $32,500. Not all customers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 4-1. Jeep is a registered trademark.
I think we forget, like, even though it is, you know, a much quicker recovery time for a hitter than it is a pitcher, it's a really involved surgery and rehab process. And guys, the reason why pitchers put it off and even hitters put it off is because it's really difficult. It's really painful. There's a lot that goes into the rehab. They try to avoid it the best they can. I think it's usually a mistake to try to avoid it, but I think that's the reason it is. I mean, you know, you see these guys go through it. It's really, you know, it really, really makes people struggle.
He also hid this injury for a while. He tried to play it off like it wasn't any big deal. And then later it was like, oh yeah, I tore my UCL. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you're trying to win a World Series,
yeah,
right?
I get it. Yeah, if they were out of it earlier on, maybe he would.
Yeah, if they weren't going to be in the playoffs or they got eliminated in the first round, right, maybe he makes a different decision. But, like, I think we get spoiled sometimes as fans to go, like, oh, why not just, you know, fix it and stuff? Like, you don't know how many shots you're going to get at a World Series. Like, you know, as good as the Dodgers are, and, you know, I'm sure they hope to compete for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 years because they're so damn good and have so much money. Like, you don't know as a player, like, is this my last opportunity to you know, get a ring?
Right.
You know, and so I can totally understand, like, going, you know, I'm just going to talk. I mean, Ronnie Lott cut a finger off, right? Or part of a finger off.
Something like that.
To play in the Super Bowl. So, like, guys, you know, these uber athletes, you know, are super competitive. They want to win. Like, I totally understand.
Didn't Terrell Owens play a Super Bowl with like a broken leg or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, guys do these crazy effing things all the time. Like, you know, where, you know, us mere mortals, you know, can't even imagine. Right. Like, you know, I stub my toe and I want to take the rest of the day off.
I roll out of bed the wrong way sometimes, and like my back is sore for the entire morning. Yeah, it's.
I didn't write last night because I had a headache.
headaches are bad, man. If you have really bad headaches.
Yeah. We're definitely just mere mortals, but yeah, it sucks. I love Muncy. I don't think I'd have him fourth in my rank. He'd probably be maybe sixth ahead of Abreu in my rankings. But yeah, I loved Muncy. He was very consistent. Like outside of the 2020 year, you look at his stats. It was like bank it 35 home runs, you know, 90 plus RBIs, you know, 250 ish average, but you know, 95 to 100 runs. It was such a really good three category guy that usually obviously had that multi position eligibility, which was huge as well. Mm-hmm. So. Kind of a bummer because he would have been a target of mine. But yeah, right now I'm definitely avoiding him as well. We're going a bit long here, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side and talk some younger guys and some late round guys. So don't go anywhere.
Asbury Methodist Village and Montgomery County take senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
All right, welcome back from the break. All right, Justin, let's talk some Bobby Dalbec here. Getting some of the younger guys that kind of had some pretty solid years last year that could take some steps forward this year. We'll start with Bobby Dalbec. So Dalbec was atrocious. As a Red Sox fan watching every game, Dalbec was like, I didn't even want him starting, let alone fantasy, just like in general for the Red Sox first half of the year because he was so bad. But then Kyle Schwarber comes at the trade deadline. They work together. Dalbec kept Schwarber at first base defensively. Schwarber gives him some tips offensively. Seemed to really help each other out, and Dalbec skyrocketed in the second half of the season, or not second half, last 2 months or so. Contact rates up, K rates down, whiff rates down, etc. Are you buying Dalbec at all, Justin, or are you thinking he's closer to first half Dalbec than second half Dalbec?
I mean, I think he is who we think he is, right? You know, who do we think he is, though? I think he's a guy who's going to have massive streaks in opposite directions all the time. Like, I think you're going to see, you know, weeks, months where he is like unusable, and I think he's going to have weeks, months where he's like seemingly the best hitter in the game in that moment. Because I think that's just who he is. And you know, he's a free swinger. I know, you know, he had that conversation with Schwarber. He made changes. We've kind of seen that tape before with him, right? We've seen him really, really struggle and make changes and finish out hot. You know, we saw it in 2020 in that really abbreviated season. They also have a really, really bright young player coming up in Casas. Like, and I think the problem with a guy like Dalbec is if he struggles, they may make that switch. He may not get another opportunity. So, like, I think he needs to hit the ground running. I think he needs to continue these things. Otherwise, you know, the hard part with a guy like Dalbec is while the ceiling is huge, you know, we saw it, you know, at the end of the last season, the floor is really, really low. The floor is not on that roster. And I don't know that I want to take that shot unless I'm in a position where, like, I'm in desperate need of power. But there are other guys going around there where you can get that kind of power from. So I'm probably not going to have very many shares of Dalbec this year.
All perfectly valid points. So one thing I'll say, though, I don't think Casas is ready until probably mid-season. So I think Dalbec will have at least a few months to kind of prove himself, which definitely helps. And even with the streaks, you know, I think there's a chance end of the year. And yeah, there's definitely going to be streaks. I 100% agree with that. You know, even if he's, you know, closer to the new and improved Dalbec than he was the old Dalbec. And I've seen that through the minor leagues. I saw him here in Portland, Maine, coming up through AA. He's always going to be streaky. But what if the end of season line, if he gets the lion's share of playing time at first base, gets, you know, 600 plus plate appearances, I could see a 240, 250 average and 30 home runs, which is, you know, maybe I don't see there's a big difference between him and CJ Krohn, really, if that's possible. You know, yeah, the floor with Dalbec is much lower. Definitely agree there. So see if he does struggle and Cassis is heating up at the right time, I can see that flop happening. But and I could see I'm buying in Dalbec. He looked like a really different hitter, a hitter I had not seen before. As a Red Sox fan, I saw him. This is a different guy. Maybe he's not like completely second half Dalbec, but I could see him not reverting back to first half Dalbec.
My only counter to that is, are you going to be able to ride the highs and lows? Like in a best ball, I think Dalbec's a really interesting guy because you don't get to have to take the crap part, right? You only have to take the good portions of it, and you're not worrying about, you know, you're holding on to that, you know, player of the entire season no matter what, right? Unless you're in cut line. But how many times, like, are you going to be able to eat those bad weeks? And, you know, especially if it lasts a long time to get back to that goodness, or are you going to be forced to make a decision where you drop him onto the waiver wire and it becomes somebody else's problem and maybe they get the goodness or maybe they get more badness, whatever. Like, it's not as simple as like end of the season line where you go, hey, at the end of the year, hit 35 home runs, you know, or 30 home runs with a 240 batting average. Like, there were weeks you probably ate, 170, and then you may not have got him back in your lineup when he, you know, went on that tear and hit, you know, 8 home runs in a week. So he's just such a frustrating player, and I just don't love that kind of profile.
Here's my biggest problem there. His strikeout rate dipped at the end of the year, but nothing else changed. His swinging strike rate, you look at the rolling graph, his swinging strike rate is identical. His contact rates didn't really improve. I mean, yeah, he had made a little more contact, but, you know, you're still looking and the contact rates were sub 70%. The zone contact was 70%, 72%. Nothing changed is my biggest problem with him. And that's my concern is that we see him revert back because there's nothing that's backing up him. That strikeout rate, like, I don't get how it dipped so much. And he even turned it back up at the end of the year. So you just look at his rolling chart of strikeouts just up and down and up and down. So you're right, the streakiness is certainly going to be there.
Yeah, and like even the better Dalbec, like you mentioned, like the contact rates were still below average. So it's not like he's going to be a 280 hitter all of a sudden. Like, this is still, at best case scenario, like a 250 guy.
He still had a 17.6 swing and strike percentage.
Yeah, that's
not good. And swung outside of the zone like 35% of the time, like in the hot streak. Like, that's built into who he is. Like, maybe he's got a little bit better pitch recognition, which is great, but at the same time, like, I think this feels a lot like Charlie Brown trying to kick a football.
Yeah, I can say that for sure. All right, Dave, hop in. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think he made legit improvements because everything was kind of up in the second half, power, hard hit, contact. But and he has that elite barrel percentage too. I'm definitely in on him. The thing is, like, I get the downside, right? Like, you're probably not starting him as your starting first baseman.
Right. Yeah.
That's the nice thing is he can kind of be your corner slash maybe even your utility guy, but for where he goes. And I mean, after Votto's off the board, I kind of feel like other than Mancini, there's really no one other than Dalbec going there that I think he has a lot of room to move up. And I think that's really the tough part here is I think by March, a lot of people are going to be moving him up the board. He's a big target. He feels like Krohn did last year when he signed with Colorado, everybody was pushing him way up the boards and he kind of feels like he has that sort of helium, maybe slightly less, but I think that a lot of people are going to be targeting him once you get into those, anytime you're coming near pick, you know, 190, 200, I think people are looking to take him. So I just think if you're targeting him, you have to kind of be wary where you know, you're going to have to jump up to get him probably. I think the upside there is good, but you know, like you guys said, there will definitely be, you know, his profile is definitely conducive to cold streaks as well as those hot streaks. So I'm not concerned about Casas though. Like, I don't think they're just going to like bring Casas up and replace him unless I think he has to lose his spot for them to replace him. Like, if they want to play Casas at like DH or whatever, or Dalbec at DH, they can do that. But if he's hitting, there's no concern that Casas is just going to replace him.
Right. And Dalbec's a pretty solid, he's not Gold Glove, he's a pretty solid defensive first baseman too, so
okay,
that definitely helps. Yeah, he definitely. So I think that definitely gives him a little bit of a longer leash. But I'm definitely with you there. I don't think there's like any threat of Cassis coming up and taking that spot right away. At least not until June, July at the earliest. So moving on here to another. I put him in the young gun section, but he's not a young gun. He's 29, but kind of feels like he fits, just because last year was his first full season, or even first full half season. He broke out in the second half after all the Cubs moves, trading away Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, opened up plenty of spots, and Frankie Schwindel, Frank the Tank Schwindel, took the spot at first base and really ran with it. 326, 371, 591 slash line, 14 home runs, 43 RBI, and 44 runs scored in 259 plate appearances. Justin, are you buying Frank the Tank here in 2022?
Here's another example of, like, you know, you do early ranks. I try to do early ranks before ADP is out, before other people do ranks. That way I'm not influencing my early ranks. Right. I had Schwindel really, really low. But he also hadn't finished doing what he was going to do in the season. And, you know, the more I talked to people, the more I dug into him, the more I really like what he does. Like,
yeah,
he makes a ton of zone contact. And I don't know what the Cubs are doing. I really don't get it. Like, I don't know, like, if they are, like, going to try to compete, half compete. Like, I really don't kind of get it. But that being said, like, as the way the roster is constructed in the moment, unless they bring back a guy like Rizzo, which I don't necessarily think they're going to do, I think he's got that job on lockdown. Yeah. I think he can be in the middle of that lineup, which isn't going to be nearly as good as it was, but it's not going to be the worst lineup in baseball, and it's not a bad part to hit in, not a bad division to hit in. So, yeah, I've been kind of, you know, kind of warming up to Frank Schwindel. And I think I've got him around, like, my 15th or 17th, something like that, first baseman, which is higher than the ADP, where I started off with him as, like, my 37th or 38th. So, like, he's moved up quite a bit in my ranks. I've actually drafted him, I think, once or twice already this season. So, I'm kind of in on Frank Schwindel.
I am, too. I have him 20th overall, right behind Trey Mancini. And I might even move him up, because I like Frank Schwindel. You know, you look at – he was always a pretty solid – hitter in the minor leagues as well. He has a 286 career hitter there, 135 home runs, 842 games. So it's not like this completely came out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't think we saw him being like a top 10 hitter in baseball over the last 2 months of the year. But yeah, I definitely think there's a lot to like here with Schwindel. And for what it's worth, I know it's not the be-all, end-all, but Rossi Resource has him hitting second right between Rafael Ortega and Wilson Contreras. So, and he'll probably hit higher up in that order. I don't see him hitting really any lower than fourth, because you look at fifth down, it's like Patrick Wisdom, Jason Hayward, the Nico and Nick middle infield duo, and like Clint Frazier. So it's probably 2, 3, 4 is in some order, Contreras, Happ, and Schwindel. So yeah, again, pretty solid. You mentioned solid part of the lineup, good hitters park. Rookie field's always been good, especially in the summer when the wind blowing out there. So I like Schwindel. I want him as my starter, but I think he's a really solid corner infield guy. Maybe he's like a 270, 25 homer type that we kind of were talking about. This is one of those guys that you can get at this range, and his ADP, let's see, pull it back up here, right around like pick 225, 230 or so, 23rd first position off the board. You know, I like him more than, you know, I almost like him more than like Josh Bell or Rhys Hoskins. Ooh. Or at least just as much. They're going 80 to 100 picks sooner. So yeah, give me all the Frankie Tank shares at pick 230. Clegg, what about you?
Yeah, I like him. I'm not going to go as far as say I'll get him. I love Josh Bell personally. I think Bell's just...
I've never really been a Josh underrated. Bell guy. I'm warming up to Josh Bell. I will say that. I am warming up to Josh Bell, and he's hitting behind Soto, which definitely helps. But I don't know. I've just never been a Josh Bell guy.
Yeah. I think Bell's just a tweak away from unlocking a ton of power. I mean,
hasn't he always been a tweak away, though? Yeah, I feel like we said this before.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, totally.
But even he could do it. He could do it, and I'll eat my words if he does. But I don't know. I think we've always
been
there.
Even with a 55% ground ball rate, he's still a 30 home run bat. Like, that's the crazy thing. So, and he's still going to hit for solid average. So I think, you know, if he pushes that down to 50, I mean, like, he's shown that he can be sub 50 the last couple of years. So I just think it's there. I think that he's got 30 plus home run pop. But yeah, anyway, that was a previous discussion. So yeah, I do like Schwindel. I think at the price, I do think that he's pretty solid. And I don't think it was fluky. I don't think we're going to see that kind of average again. I think there's a lot of average regression probably coming. But even still, I think he's a good bat. He's going to be hitting a good lineup spot. And, you know, people think it doesn't really matter if he's hitting in a bad lineup, but it does. I mean, the amount of plate appearances he's going to get hitting two, if he hits two in that lineup, really does matter. He's going to get tons. So I do like that.
Dave, are you in on Frankie as well?
I mean, I don't have a problem with him at the price. You know, he's going like 231, but I mean, I'm definitely taking a guy like Dahlbeck over him because I'm looking for that. That's the point of the draft where I'm looking to hit on a big upside guy, and I just don't think Schwindel has it. Like, I'm expecting some pullback for sure from what we saw from last year. Like, you look at his barrel rate, 8% is way below where most of the first basemen are. He's got a subpar hard hit rate under 40%. You know, max EV, again, we said not exactly the be all end all here, but kind of 112.5, it's fine, but I don't, there's nothing in his profile that really screams, you know, 78% contact rate. And you know, these guys who break out late, a lot of times they show a little something and they have some pullback. So I'm not really big on him, but at the same time, I think he's fine for where he goes. You know, he's, like you said, he's got a pretty solid spot in that lineup, should be hitting in the top, you know, four spots or so, maybe even second. I don't expect that to be a great lineup, but you know, if you're hitting second, third, fourth in any lineup, that's good for your numbers. So I don't dislike him. I just don't particularly like him. And I would much rather have Bell and Hoskins than him for sure.
Yeah, no, I would take them as well, but I just don't think there's a huge gap. I don't think there's a 80 to 100 pick gap in value between those guys. This is what I was trying to say. I would definitely take those guys. If they're all on the board, I would take Bell, then Hoskins, then Schwindel, but I don't see why there's almost 100 pick gap between the three. That's what I was kind of trying to get at.
I hear you. I think Hoskins is a little, I mean, Hoskins and Bell are there. They have a lot of power. Like, I think they can hit 40 plus homers if things break right for them. Whereas I think Schwindel is kind of a 20 to 22 kind of home run bat. He's got some solid contact skills and everything. I just think it's kind of like, it's just a different type of hitter.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you for sure.
Like, I mean, here's the thing, like Schwindel, like had a 90 something percent zone contact percentage. It was like among first basemen, it was top five in baseball. Like, I mean, he has the ability just, you know, just put a ton of balls in play. Like, I agree. Like, I'm still taking Bell over him. I'm still taking Hoskins over him because of the power potential, but I
more stable like, profile.
Schwindel is, Schwindel, I think, is a lot safer than maybe we're giving him credit for.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's safe. I don't think that's the question. Yeah. I think it's just a question of upside, really. Just what you're looking for.
I mean, overall zone contact, I mean, he ranks 21st in all of baseball. So, I mean, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah,
very good.
Like, that's amazing. For a first baseman, I mean, you know, and a guy who, like, hit 14 home runs in 259 plate appearances, like, if we can give him, or if he can get 600 plate appearances, they don't bring someone else in to compete with him, then, you know, plus they're adding the DH in the National League more than likely. Like, there's a real shot. Like, we're talking about a guy who could potentially hit 300 with 30 plus home runs. And like I said at the beginning of the show, like, you don't find that very often, right? Like, that's Freddie Freeman-esque. Like, and we're talking, I mean, so, I mean, that's some pretty damn good upside that I don't think we're giving enough credit
for. I don't think he hits the ball hard enough, though, for us to really see that in his average, though. Like, his contact is there, but I don't think he's ever going to be, like, that kind of 300 average guy again. I mean, this is a – I know he was last year in 250 at-bat play appearances, but I think if we see a full season, I don't think you're going to see those kind of numbers again.
I mean, I disagree. Like, okay. I mean, I'm not projecting that by any stretch of the imagination. I'm probably projecting, like, 270, but yeah. – I think, you know, you look throughout some of the, you know, his minor league stays, you know, you look at what he did in the majors last year. I mean, I think that's in the range of possibilities for him.
Okay.
Like, and if we're talking about upside, we're talking about a guy who's got the upside of, you know, like a fourth, third round pick. And like, you know, so like I, you know, plus a really high floor. Like, I think I'm talking myself higher up on
you're gonna have him top five here soon.
Like, this is crazy. Like a guy who I don't even think I had him as a top 40 first baseman in my first run of ranks. Like, you know, like this is a pretty awesome.
He's profile. Moving him above Muncy.
Yep.
That being said, like, who knows? It could all fall apart, right? We're also talking about 250 five.
Yeah. I mean, if the short season taught us anything, it's that those small samples are dangerous to believe in for sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. But for what it's worth, in second half of the last season, he had the seventh highest WOBA in baseball for qualified hitters. Take that for what it's worth. Like, I don't think he's, you know, obviously not going to maintain that. But yeah, I do like the profile. I think it's one of the better profiles this late in the draft. Like, it's hard to find this good of a profile, you know, this safe of a profile, even with, you know, like Dave mentioned, you know, he has like 200 and whatever plate appearances. But I like the profile a lot at this stage in the draft for sure.
I think he's very safe. Yeah. I think that's a very good way to explain him.
Yeah, Fantrax, he's going 244.6. Yeah, and like I said, right around 230, 240 on NFBC. So, yeah, I love the profile that late. Another profile I love, he's a little bit higher in ADP by about 50-ish spots, but a guy that I think could be a top 100 guy this year, that's Alex Kirilloff of the Minnesota Twins. A guy that was a top 10 caliber prospect in the minor leagues, and a high contact guy, solid but not great power. But last year, the quality of contact metrics were pretty solid. I guess it was only in, 231 plate appearances, but 12.8% barrel rate, 91-mile-an-hour average exit velo, 43.9% hard hit rate. It was one of only, I think it was like 8 or 9 hitters in baseball to have a XBA of 290 or above and an X-slug of 530 or above. He was 291 and 541 overall. So underperformed a little bit, only hit 251. But I think there's a Brian Reynolds type of profile here to be had with Kirilloff. And this is a guy that's going around like pick 170, 180 or so, both on Fantrax and NFBC. So I've gotten already a couple of shares of Kirilloff, and I'm trying to get all the shares I can. I think this is to be a great year for him. He's going to be in a pretty good lineup all around, especially if Buxton and Donaldson can stay healthy. I'm really buying Kirilloff this year. What about you, Dave? Are you in on Kirilloff?
I'm not really. I hear you. Like the profile looked good from the power perspective. 12.8% barrel rate, 44% hard hit rate. The max EV wasn't really there, but he also had a wrist injury last year. And the one thing I have to look into too, and he had surgery in late July. And I have to look into how players perform coming back the year after wrist surgery. Because I can't remember if that's if they're expected to return to their full power the first year back or not. But I think the power is good. The contact is not bad either. 22.5% K rate. He doesn't walk much, only 6%. I think he can hit for a decent average. I think he'd be like a 270 hitter. The main thing I don't like is kind of like just the Twins. Like I don't trust them. Like they didn't play him every day. It was like 5 out of 6 games, which is not terrible, but I like guys who are going to be in there every day. And I think where is he projected to hit? I mean, I don't care about roster resource at this point in the season because they're just guessing, but I think last year he hit kind of in the lower half a good amount.
He probably does again, but maybe you can see him up to that 5-6 range. Because like right now, I'm still going to roster resource, but there's not really, I think the top 2, 3, 4 are Buxton, Polanco, Donaldson. They're pretty set. But after that, like, is Kepler or Garver like locked into the 5-6 spot? Probably not. So I think there's a chance that he could move up. And Sano is going to hit higher than like 7th at this point. So I think he could see like him in the 5 spot at some point.
I think he could. I just think he's not going to get you the counting stats that you can get from other guys going around there. Again, like a Mancini, like a Votto, like a Hoskins. I mean, I know some of those guys go a little bit higher than him, but I don't know. I think the fact that he has outfield eligibility helps too. I don't think I'm going to have many shares of him, but I don't dislike him or anything. I don't think he's like a bad pick. I just think it's more of a, for counting stats, I'm not super in on that.
Okay. Clegg, how about you?
Yeah, I love him for Dynasty. I'm scooping him up everywhere in Dynasty. The contact's really good. As you mentioned, I look back at his 2019 AA contact rate is 80%, which is really good. And so I think the power's blossoming as well. But yeah, I am worried about his lineup spot plate appearances and counting stats this year. So not really in on him for redraft, but Dynasty, I want all I can get of him because I do think long-term he's a really solid player.
Justin.
Yeah, he was one of those guys when I first did my ranks, I was like, oh, man, he's going to be a really nice value. People are going to forget about him, and nobody's forgotten about him. Everybody's there's no discount. He's going 180. He should not be going 180. He went from being this player I thought we were going to get a nice discount on to a player that we're not getting a discount
at all.
And we're not even baking in the fact that he's coming off of wrist surgery, a wrist issue that he has dealt with for years.
Yeah.
We have no idea if the power is going to return right away. Power typically does not return right away after these kind of wrist surgeries. So, as much as I kind of agree with Chris, like I want Dynasty shares. I would be actively trying to go get Dynasty shares, especially if I'm not trying to compete this year for 2022. I think I've drafted him once already in a really, really early draft, but that's probably the last I'm going to end up with him.
All right, let's go one more young name here. It'd be a shame if we didn't get a little Spencer Torkelson talking here, who could be up early on in the season. Chris, go to you first here. Are you looking to draft Torkelson in redraft this year? His ADP is currently right around 260 or so. Would you take him there or take him at all? Would you want him to fall later, or where would you be comfortable taking Torkelson this year?
This year I think I've made the decision, like, I'm just not touching a prospect that hasn't debuted yet in a redraft league.
Yeah.
It just is so risky. And we've seen this over and over and over. And I love Torkelson. And I also, have we got any update about his injury from the fall league? Like, no. I'm not sure if there's been any update on that, which is another kind of red flag for me. I mean, the injury was pretty significant that he had. It ended his fall league completely. They sent him home. So, like, that's a concern. So, yeah, I'm not really going to draft. I don't think I'm going to draft him anywhere, personally.
Dave, I saw you shaking your head. You're probably avoiding as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I avoid prospects as much as possible. That's they're constantly overvalued. You don't know how their team's going to play them, if they're going to, you know, platoon, or how they're going to adjust coming up. I don't think Torkelson's profile really translates well right off the bat. Again, down the line next year, maybe even might be in, but for this year, he's in Detroit, terrible park for power. I'm drafting for production, and he's not a, and I, again, I don't even know if he's starting up with them or what they're going to do. So even in draft and hold, you never know. Like, you know, I drafted Bobby Witt last year thinking, oh, he'll be up at some point, you know, and because he had fallen a bit, and then, you know, never came up, not even for a cup of coffee in September. So we don't know. We all think he's going to be up, but who knows?
Yeah, no, I'm with both of you. I've kind of steered away from drafting prospects unless the value is like crazy good. And I'm more like go after the post hype second year guys, you know, like a Kirilov that, you know, he fits in that example. So those are more of my types now. Yeah, prospects go way too high. And then, yeah, they're just the sexy toy. Everyone loves that. And they're shiny and they're new. But it's everyone pushes them up way too high. And like Bobby Wood Jr. is going like top 60 in some drafts. I just, as good, Bobby Wood Jr. could be a fantasy first round talent down the road. Absolutely could. But yeah, I just can't do it. Not to get on the shortstop rant here. But yeah, I just can't do it either. I love Torque. I'd rather go after his teammate, Riley Green, if I had to pick one. Did I just steal your thunder, Justin?
Yeah, you literally stole exactly what I was going to say. Absolutely, word for word, and said I'd rather have Riley Green. Yeah, I've got Torkelson ranked as my 31st first baseman, right behind Eric Hosmer. So that tells you exactly how much I want him on my team.
That's so mean. Don't do the man like that behind Hosmer.
Yeah. So the ankle injury. They said it's a significant injury, you know, and they're calling it a sprain. But a sprain is a tear. Like, so, yeah. Like, if they're saying significant injury, he's going to miss significant time, ankle sprain, that's telling me he tore something in his ankle. And, you know, so automatically you knew he probably wasn't going to be up unless he signed some sort of deal start day one. Now we probably, especially, you know, they're not talking to the team doctors. Like, we have no idea what's going on. Like, yeah, I'll probably be in on him a huge amount in 2023, but in 2022, probably not going to end up on my teams.
Yeah, I actually have Torque one spot below you. I have him 32nd in my rankings, but I also have Hosmer 41st. I just don't want anything to do with Eric Hosmer. Let's go on here. We're going a little late on time here. Let's move on to our next segment here. A couple bounce back potential candidates here. One younger, one older. Andrew Vaughn, I know he's not first was eligible this year at NFBC, but for most of you listening, probably is, whether you're on Yahoo or Fantrax or whatever. So we'll talk about him a little bit here. And then Anthony Rizzo, who finally seemed to have fallen off last year after many, many years of really good production and consistency. Justin, I'll go back to you here. Are you buying a bounce back from either of these guys in 2022?
I'm definitely interested in Rizzo depending on where he signs. So I kind of want to see, like, if you're doing early drafts, yeah. I kind of want to see where he's going to end up, make sure he's got full-time playing time, make sure it's not in a park that's like really crappy or a lineup that's really crappy. So I'm kind of waiting and seeing on him. Vaughn, I mean, I love the skills. Like, I think there's talent. I mean, he played his high school ball like within walking distance of my house. So, like,
oh, really?
his dad works with my wife.
Really?
So I've got all the reasons in the world to root for the kid, but I don't really trust the White Sox to play him. Like, the way the White Sox handled him last year is really, really perturbing. And I don't trust the organization right now, so I'm going to fade him unless he falls in a draft. It's by the fact that, you know, I do think maybe at some point he does get first base eligibility back in those leagues where he doesn't have it. So I want to root for the kid. I do. And I am rooting for the kid, but I'm not going to root for him on my team, probably.
That's fair. And yeah, it was really odd, the La Russa hiring. He did a fine job, obviously. But I thought it's all the young talent they had on that team, Vaughn, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, you know, et cetera, that they would have brought in a little bit, a younger guy, a manager that could relate to those guys a bit more. And yeah. Vaughn played, you know, mostly out in left, some right, even had one start at second and then third. I'm like, that's just got to mess with a guy, especially a guy that's trying to adjust to major league pitching, which is already a beast of itself. So yeah, I like Vaughn to bounce back. Rizzo, I don't know. I think he can bounce back. I don't think he's completely done being a solid option. I don't think, obviously, his glory days are behind him, but I do like Vaughn to bounce back. You know, the approach is still solid enough. You know, the quality of contact was pretty good last year. Good hard hit rate, solid barrel rate as well. So I do think Vaughn can bounce back, but yeah, I just don't like La Russa as his manager. I wonder if it's going to be like 2021 part two for Vaughn next year. So yeah, I do share those same concerns. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's probably going to be an excellent buy next year, but this year, I don't trust him to play. I mean, one, he's not an outfielder, and they're, you know, playing him out there. He's not a second baseman. They played him there, too. He's not going to play first base unless, you know, Abreu's DH-ing some. But that's my concern, is there's just not a clear spot for him. And, you know, right now he's listed on roster resources, a platoon with Gavin Sheets, which I don't know if that's the case. But I think people were kind of, you know, scoffing at Vaughn despite – I think he had a solid season given the circumstances he faced last year. Yeah. I mean, everything that he dealt with. But again, I think that he's going to deal with that same crap this year. So, you know, I'm struggling to buy in for this season.
I'm hoping he gets more time at DH this year.
That would help.
Because right now, that's where they have him, is platooning with Gavin Sheets, which I don't think Sheets will really factor in much. But maybe he gets more time at DH and that helps. That's kind of the one thing I'm holding on to with Vaughn. But I don't know. Abreu's still there, obviously. He ain't going anywhere. So, yeah, this year I think it's going to be a lot of the same, unfortunately. But maybe DH more, that's always a possibility. Dave, how about you? Are you buying either Vaughn or Rizzo this year?
Not particularly. I mean, I like Vaughn's skills, but like Justin was saying, I mean, they were playing everybody over him. I mean, he was playing, you know, a couple times a week, but nothing resembling full-time at-bats. If he does get full-time at-bats, that's one thing. But, I mean, you know, think about how many injuries they had last year. I mean, they're playing, you know, Goodwin and Mendick and Sheets and all these guys you had never even heard of or thought would be relevant in 2021 over him at times. So it's just like, how can you trust that they're, I mean, unless they come out and like commit to him and say like, yeah, we're definitely playing Andrew Vaughn every day. And then, okay, now we're talking, you know, he's going 245. That's a fine place to take him if he's going to get that playing time. But as it is, I'd much rather have Dahlbeck going around the same time. So I just, you know, it's not a guy I'm looking to draft. Rizzo, I don't think he's like done. And it obviously depends on where he goes for what his playing time situation is going to be. But, you know, he's like 20-25 homers with like a 255, 265 average somewhere in there is what I'd expect. And, you know, he's okay. He's fine. I don't really foresee having him anywhere. And I don't know why I would take him over, you know, a guy like Mancini going after him and stuff like that. I'd take Dahlbeck over him too, to be honest with you. Like, I just don't know what I'm really taking Rizzo for at that point.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same mindset with you on Rizzo there. All right. Let's end the show with our favorite late round targets. Let's go post 250 ADP. I'll kick it off here. I love Rowdy Tellez late in drafts.
Son of a bitch.
See, this is why I've learned my lesson, because I always sometimes go last, and then like my guy will get taken. So I'm like, I'm taking Rowdy Tellez here. So I want to talk about my boy Rowdy. You know, the one kind of concern is maybe the playing time isn't there right now. He might be in a platoon, but you look at some of the guys that could potentially platoon with him. It's like Mike Brousseau, no. Kesson Hiria, no. We've been there, no. Jace Peterson, no. So I think Rowdy Tellez is going to have that first base spot. Probably going to hit fifth, sixth in the lineup. I don't think he hits lower than sixth. And I think there's some really good breakout potential here in the profile. Like last year, He had a 92.2 mile an hour average exit velo, very good. 11.6% barrel rate, very good. 48.1% hard hit rate, kept the K rate in check. It's been 20% or less each of the last 2 years. Walk rate's kind of meh. It's like slightly below average, but I think you could be 260-ish hitter, 25 home runs. And again, this is a guy that's not that, much of a different profile. Guys that are going, we just talked about, the Dahlbeck, Schwindel range, and he's going good. Where is he going? 125 picks later, around 350 ADP. I think I've got Tellez in a lot of my leagues, probably over half my leagues so far. I love Artie Tellez. So he's my pick here. Now, Dave, I'll let you regroup and find someone else. Justin, who's your pick?
I got a lot of guys actually going after 250 that I really like. And I think this is, one of the reasons why people say, like, hey, you can pass on a lot of these earlier options, because Tellez was the guy who's on my list. Tsutsugo, what he did in Pittsburgh after being traded there was really, really enticing. Jesus Aguilar is a guy I always seem to kind of end up on a bunch of my teams. I think he's super underrated. If we're talking like super late post 400. Bobby Bradley is Bobby Dahlbeck on the Cleveland Guardians. He's a guy who is going to strike out a ton and hit a bunch of home runs, and the Guardians have kind of committed to him. Obviously super low floor, but I think, he has the power to hit 40 home runs if he can find enough contact. That's a big if. If we're talking post 400, like, that's a ton of power, as a reserve, first baseman for you. So I just think there's so many guys going late at first base that, like we've said the entire episode, this is why if you just decide to wait, you can get options later.
For sure. Clegg, how about you?
Tsutsugo is my guy I was going with. He batted at the top of the lineup to end the season. He's projected hit second. You look what he did. Final 144 plate appearances, all in Pittsburgh. They freed him. They played him every day. He's the guy that people thought he could be coming over here, and he hit 8 home runs, 268 average over that span. I think he's going to be pretty solid. He's going really late right now, around 370 in draft champions. So, that's a really good spot for a guy that I think could hit 20-plus home runs and hit for a decent little average. So, really like Tsutsugo.
Dave, round us out. Who's your guy?
Yeah, well, after Justin took like 7 guys for his guy.
Some pick is left.
Rowdy's my guy, but after that, I think it really depends on what they do at the position, because they are talking about Matt Olson and everything. But Luke Voit is sitting there at 278, and if he takes the Yankees job, right now I think he's an awesome pick, especially if you're in an early fab league where you can drop him in like a shallow league, like a 10 or 12 teamer, because like you're getting him at a monster value there, because we'll know by March where he stands. Like, is he their starting first baseman, or is he, kind of on the bench again? But this guy has a monster barrel rate. Like, he can, he's got big power. He's a good enough contact here too. I know it dropped massively last season, but he makes enough contact that it's not going to be like a, 220 average. He's usually around, 260, 270. So I love Voit right now, but again, we just don't know where he's going to be by March. Another interesting guy real late is Profar, going at 455, because right now he could have a starting spot. And when you're going 450 with a starting spot in San Diego, who has first base outfield eligibility, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Those of you in super deep leagues like drafting holds and stuff like that, you can also combine Carlos Santana and Nick Prado. Prado will be up at some point to replace him, but Santana's just like that old steady Eddie dude who just, he's going to play because he's getting paid, and then Prado will replace him at some point.
Yeah. Is he, though? Is he going to
Vinny Pasquantino. He's the dude.
Italian.
Who?
Vinny Pasquantino. He's better than Prado, man. I'm telling you.
Really?
His contact, I don't know much about him. Contact's insane. Prado's probably got better power, but Pasquantino's power is, or is it, contact is elite. Like, good power, elite contact.
Yeah. Pasquantino was one of 3 prospects last year to have, that are age 22 or younger, to have a walk rate above 15%, a K rate below 20%, and like a 250 plus ISO. Yeah, he's legit. But I don't know if we see him a lot this year. He's a little further back than Prado, but
he away last year though, right?
Yeah, maybe I could see.
I think Prado comes up with Witt. I think possibly. There's a real possibility that they come up together.
Yeah,
Prado's been a guy. I've got a couple of shares of Prado just because he's a solid bat. I think he's a little overrated, but I do think he has some solid value there with Prado. Just seeing like best balls and deep drafting holds and whatnot. So
there's a lot of question marks in that lineup. I mean, we don't know if Dozier's starting at first or Santana could be a bench guy. I mean, who's going to play DH? Like they could play Mondesi there to try to keep him healthy, especially if they bring up Witt early.
I think that's Nicky Lopez.
You got Whit Merrifield there. You got Michael Taylor playing good out center field defense. So I don't know.
I think you're going to see a lot of guys playing a lot of their positions all year long.
Yeah, probably. So that's probably meaning I'm going to be avoiding that Santana, Prado situation.
Whit Merrifield is like a Dave McDonald guy. I think for the fact that when I was looking up the games played over the last 3 years.
Oh yeah, he was the only guy
to play in every game the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's actually much more of a Jake Kalisker guy, but I am a fan. I prefer to get my steals with a guy who has a little bit more power when possible, but I'm not opposed to him for sure. I mean, you're getting production from that guy. I mean, it's just a question of the RBI, but that's something I feel pretty confident that I can pick up later in the draft and then on the wire too. So
I just want to point out before you guys wrap this up that we are on pick 12 and Vlad is still on the board in this draft. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
We're not up to 24. Okay. He ain't falling to us at 24. Who's up now? Oh, Bubba's up. And then we got Toby.
Toby's not taking him unless he does it for the memes. So there's a realistic chance he could make it to, 14, 15 in this draft.
That would be his max pick.
Toby could take Scherzer, Buehler, or Wheeler here too. So there's some options for sure.
Yeah, I think Toby's setting up or who knows what Toby's setting up.
Govea sitting on the 15 pick again for Govea. He was there last year too, and he'll probably do his patented wait an hour, take one pick, then wait another hour and a half, and then make his second pick like he always does. We're all like, geez. You son of a bitch, you've got two picks, and you're gonna wait an hour and a half between them.
Gotta think it out, man. Gotta think it out. All right, let's end the show with a deep dive into Eric Hosmer. No, I'm kidding. Gentlemen,
I'm done.
Mason just disconnects. This was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for coming on. I listened to you guys on the Friends of Fantasy Memphis podcast, obviously Sleeper on the Bus and Rotosaurus as well, High Stakes Heat. Great podcast. Everyone should check out all three of those. You probably already are, but if you're not, do so. Again, thanks for coming on, guys. Love all your stuff. Anything you guys want to plug here before we get out of here, Justin?
I think you named all the podcasts. So I'll be starting the TGFBI podcast here pretty soon. You can sign up for TGFBI if you're in the industry. Do it soon because end of the month is the end of it. And then I write daily over at FanGraphs. So, I think I got some catcher ranks and some ADP market report stuff coming out this week. So definitely check that kind of stuff out.
Yes, sign up for TGFBI. If you do any type of content, just do it. It's a fun, fun set of leagues, so I definitely recommend that. Dave, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, you already mentioned the podcast. Justin and I usually do Mondays, although I don't know if he'll be able to do tomorrow on Friends with Fantasy Benefits because he's having some dental surgery done, but we might fit it in. Like we'll do like a 2 a.m. broadcast, and it's always live too, so you guys can always come on and harass us. Like Paul Spore likes to do from time to time. And then Jake and I do the High Stakes Heat podcast every Thursday. If you haven't listened to us before, and the thing about our podcast is we do a lot of like roster construction and strategy talk. It's not as much player breakdowns and stuff. So a lot of the older episodes are still relevant today. So there's kind of those evergreen things. So if you like to hear about that stuff, there's also one episode with Jason DuPont on with us a couple episodes ago that I think was really, really good. Like Jason was an awesome guest, had a lot of valuable things to say, I think. So if you've never heard us before, I'd say check that episode out. And then you can also find Justin and I at PitchCon. And I think you two are there too, right?
Yep.
Yes, we are. Friday evening. The
prospects. Yeah. Yeah. We're on Sunday afternoon at 4. It's me,
Saturday.
Justin, and Callum. It's Saturday? Saturday. Sorry.
Saturday.
Yeah. Sorry, I've had a lot of podcasts.
I hear you, man. Yeah, definitely check out PitchCon. There's what, like 80 something guests over 4 days. You know, Nick announced
it's awesome,
that,
though. Yeah.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. do a great thing. This is the third year they're doing this. Always a lot of fun. It's an honor to be included in this group
sure.
as well. So
for sure.
Check out Pitch Gone, check out all the podcasts. But that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow all of us on Twitter. Justin is at Justin Mason FWFB. Dave McDonald is at Run DMCD. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at Eric Cross 04. And our show is at Fantrex Toolshed. And check out all of Chris and I's written work at Fantrex HQ or over on our Patreon. And join us again next time for the second base position. We have a couple more great guests coming on there. But until then, everyone take care.
Fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.